Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Alan Chartok. We're talking today about suicide prevention, very important subject. Joining me are Laura Marks, Area Director of the Capital Region Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and a, quote, suicide alertness for everyone trainer, and our friend Mary Jo Gibson, a licensed clinical social worker and crisis intervention teacher who has joined an effort among congressional spouses to raise awareness about suicide and suicide prevention. I guess, Laura Marks, everybody's got Robin Williams on their minds.
It is. And, you know, with that recent episode, people have been talking about this more. So it's a good thing because it's starting the conversation going, talking about depression, talking about mental illness and where people can go for help.
How do you get inside Robin Williams' head? I mean, you've met many people who are depressed, who have a sense of no way out. Is that what it's about?
It is. And, you know, there are a lot of people like Robin Williams. He wasn't any different than any of us. You know, on the outside, he made people laugh. But on the inside, he was, you know, feeling things that a lot of people feel. So anytime there's, depression or mental illness, just like with a physical illness, you would go to the doctor and get help. That's what we want to encourage for people who are having, some signs of depression or other illnesses.
Mary Jo, you're the social worker, the professional. What do you do when you spot somebody who you think is, capable of committing suicide?
Well, in the case of where it's someone that you meet in the community, you wouldn't want to leave them alone. You'd want to get them to professional, to a physician for mental health treatment. You want to make sure that they are in a safe place. And if someone comes into a clinician's office, there's a process that's in place for assessing the frame of mind someone is in and what the risk factors are. And so there's a series of things that you can do. And I think it's really important, as you were talking about Robin Williams, is that the discussion about mental health, and people need to know that if they are not feeling that they are getting better in the services that they're in, that they need to go to someone else, that they are the consumer, and where there's help, there's hope. And I think that's really important when someone is in a very vulnerable place, that they need to know that they're not alone. And the 1-800-273-TALK is a hotline which would be there for someone who's at risk or a family member that might observe something that they're concerned about. So the 1-800-273-TALK, and that's an important thing to note.
Well, for all of us who have at one point or another had a relative or know of somebody, a good friend, who is capable of taking their own life, and you call that number, and then what help can really be provided? Let's assume they're seeing a therapist already. Mm-hmm. Let's assume that there's great depression. Our laws about committing people have changed over the years to the point where, you know, unless they're considered an immediate threat to themselves or somebody else, there's really no place that they can be properly evaluated or isolated.
Well, if someone is brought to a hospital and they are saying that they would be at risk of harming themselves, they will be hospitalized, and they have to be under a 24-hour evaluation. The hospital cannot discharge them if they are saying that they are going to harm themselves. So it's the responsibility of a clinic, when someone is in that frame of mind.
But in the old days, if you really felt somebody was severely depressed, families would put them into a state hospital. But those do not exist anymore to the mm-hmm. degree that they once did. Most of those places are not there.
It's true. And families and friends are the advocates for that person. And when you come to these walks, these out of the darkness walks, you see the families and friends and other supporters of this cause. People are there to want to help other people be aware of this issue. So I just want to mention the walk in that mm-hmm. the walk is not only a tribute to the person that someone has lost, but also focusing on going forward and how we need to talk about this issue. As Laura pointed out, we go to the doctor when we're having a health issue and a high blood pressure, but we talk about what's going on in our mind, and we need to normalize that. And that's really what this is about, is normalizing our mental health, our wellness of people. And so and maybe Laura can answer more about also the training that goes on for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention helps in training folks to work with people to identify signs as well as finding resources. So maybe
Laura,
can...
I was actually going to ask you. That was my next question, I swear.
Mary Jo always jumps ahead.
And my next question is, so what do you do?
Well, we want to train people, what we call gatekeeper training. So anybody in the community should be aware of the warning signs of suicide and then what to do about it.
And what are they?
Well, someone who's acting differently. So we talk about changes in behavior. And when we talk about changes, we also want to make sure, you know, if you think of a change, you automatically think of something negative. So maybe someone who is getting really good grades in school, their grades start slipping. But sometimes it can be a positive change in behavior that shows us that something more is going on. So it's really something significant. So
well, give us an example of a positive change.
So maybe you have a kid who's been in a classroom who has always kind of sat in the back, never really cared what he looked like, never paid attention in class, didn't participate. The teacher's been working with him. Suddenly he sits in the front of the classroom. He starts raising his hand a little bit more and looks a little bit better. And the teacher thinks, oh, I finally got through to this kid. But what that child is thinking is that he doesn't want to be remembered as the one in the back of the classroom. So he changes his behavior as his plan and suicidal thoughts grow bigger.
Mm. Tell me about the telephone. Who's on the other end when somebody calls?
The crisis line, it's really meant to be in a crisis. So if you're worried about a friend, a family member, or even yourself, you can call the number, and they're going to help you through that immediate crisis. And then what they're going to do is connect you with some kind of local resource that you can then go to for continued care.
And why are you in it?
You know, I have three children. I have a child who's in middle school who has some anxiety. When he started middle school, he noticed friends who talked about suicide. You know, sometimes they did it in a joking manner, but he would go and he would ask them and he would get them to help. And so I think for me, seeing how my kids are growing up, I want to make sure that we're all aware of what can happen. We're all aware of how to recognize when something's happening and then how to get them help.
Does it ever personally depress you to be in this field?
It's hard. I know sometimes, you know, we're not direct service, so we don't do therapy, but we'll get calls for people, and I've had to ask them if they're thinking about suicide, and I've had to connect them with help. And we talk about self-care a lot because it is hard to be in this work, especially for me, for children. That's my area. So self-care is very important, and we need to make sure that we can, you know, sometimes it's stepping away from the computer, stepping away from the desk, going for a walk to make sure that we're okay, because if we're okay, we can't help anybody else.
Now, Mary Jo, when you are in a clinical relationship with somebody, and they come to you and they say, you know, I've thought about suicide. Is it typical? I mean, does everybody think about suicide at some point in their life?
That's a good question. I can just speak of cases that I've experienced in the past where someone has come in and said that they talk about the depression they might be feeling. And then you want to ask the question of if they have a plan, if there's a history of where they have done that before, and what has gotten them also out of that moment and time, because I think it's important to understand resiliency, because if someone did have that thought, and it may come back again, they got through it before, and they need to get through that moment. That moment may be that it seems like that's where they're going to go, but they can get through that moment. And I think it's looking at their resiliency, their coping skills, and the more we teach people coping skills in life, starting very young, the more that as they are older, they can incorporate that into their lives. And I just wanted to share, too, regarding what Laura was talking about, schools, there's a program they just recently had done, AFSP, American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, that's a model school policy. And it's only been this last year. And it's going into schools if the school wants them, because they're very careful about not pushing their agenda. But if a school is interested in meeting with them, they discuss prevention, intervention, and postvention. And so they will meet with the superintendent, the principals, and I've actually seen it in a process where I've been in with a superintendent and principals and Laura Marks who shared what their services are that they could help the school with their own policy they may already have. But I think these are things we need to do is to implement at a very young age efforts so that we go forward in a very healthy manner of handling the issues that people face in crisis.
What are some of the indicators or the predictors that you could use? I mean, If somebody, for example, in your family has committed suicide, does that make you more likely to commit suicide, number one? And what are some of the other predictors like that?
So we do know that someone who's been exposed to a suicide is at greater risk for suicide themselves. There are also people, categories that put people into higher risk factors. So right now we know that the greatest rate of suicide is males ages 45 to 54. We also know that—
We know why?
We don't really know why. We just know that that's what's trending. That's what statistics are showing us. A couple years ago, it was the elderly, and it has shifted down. We do know that men are more likely to take their lives, whereas women in the same age group attempt more often.
Has medication changed any of that?
I think certain medication may have, but I think some people have to look at the medication they're on. That's what we were talking at the beginning about. People need to go to see the physician to evaluate if it's effective or not. And that is very, very important, because the wrong medication has shown to be detrimental for some. So I think they really need to have a constant evaluation of their medication in addition to doing behavioral and cognitive therapy.
So Mary Jo, following up on this, of course, you are the spouse of a congressman. Mental health funding in this country has not been particularly progressive. What do you guys think? On gun control, we see the issue too. Everybody says, okay, we have to have better mental health. You're a clinician yourself, Mary Jo. What are the chances? And I wrote a doctoral dissertation on that subject. What are the chances that we're going to finally see some, enlightenment here?
You know, the progress is slow, but we're seeing it being made. One of the things that we were really excited about is we advocated for the NVDRS, which is a National Violent Death Reporting System. Currently, it was being funded in 18 states. New York was not one of them. We just got funded, and so New York will have NVDRS as well, and it's 32 states are now being funded.
And what
for
is
that.
It exactly?
That is it's a national reporting system. So what it's going to do is give us accurate numbers on the rates of suicide in the states that have
How
it.
How do we know? I mean, surely there are a lot of people who try, and then don't do it, right. And that's never going to get reported.
You're not going to capture everybody, but what this does is typically you only had it from death certificates, and now this also incorporates hospital reporting and other county health departments, so you're able to capture more of what you had. Certainly, there are people who attempt and never get treatment for that, so we won't always know those numbers, but this is going to give us more standard reporting across the 32 states that
are. Do we know the number one way in which people kill themselves?
Typically firearms.
Really? Yeah.
The issue which you were talking about, we didn't have that in New York State. Actually, the last time we were even here, they did not have that reporting. That's a current thing. And I think knowing that and knowing who is out there and who is in need can help the efforts. And I think when you're talking about programs, I think grants, there are grants out there, and legislation is constituent-driven, and I think that's important to keep in mind. People voice their opinion, and they write their member of Congress, and they call. That is heard. So when programs need more funding, that is definitely, particularly also in your rural areas that you have throughout New York State, there's certain things that they're looking at to help those who maybe not have as much access, and maybe looking at licensing for certain areas to have more capability, particularly maybe marriage therapists, to have that capability to do and to bill, because you have many people in rural areas that do not have access, but yet you do have some services there. So I think it's important to just keep voicing to your member of Congress what your needs are, because they're hearing, they are listening, and efforts can be made the more that people speak out.
What are the upcoming walks that people could get involved in here?
The American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, AFSP.org. If you look that up, you will find the walks throughout the New York area that you can attend, whether you're a family member or a friend who someone has lost a life, or you want to support this cause. It's AFSP.org.
Well, congratulations to both of you. This is a terribly important area, and I'm really thankful for your coming in today and for doing this work. We've been talking with Laura Marks, Area Director of the Capital Region Chapter of the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and a Suicide Alertness for Everyone trainer, and Mary Jo Gibson, a licensed clinical social worker and crisis intervention teacher who has joined in an effort among congressional spouses to raise awareness about suicide and suicide prevention. I'm Alan Chartok. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Thank you, Alan, very much.
Thank you.